Welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Sean, the natural vet, who's an integrative, holistic vet who can help you make good decisions for your pet's wellness. We love cats and dogs and the people who care for them. We're here every week to take your calls about your pets, and we'll answer on the air any question you send us to radiopetlady@gmail.com. Also, send your mailing address for a sample of Whole Life Pets freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs. Please check out all the wonderful pet shows I co-host every week on our network. Tomorrow is Dog Travel Experts, with all the ways to get out of the house with your dog from around the block to around the world. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is a production of Eight Paws LLC and Dr. Sean Messonnier, DVMPC, which are solely responsible for its content. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, companies we've invited to be here. Our number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. And we would love to hear from you, but I'm not going to give my dear, dear friend, Dr. Sean, a big hearty, howdy, doody, hearty, hearty, because you had a really sad, tough day on Friday with your little Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, little Rita.
Yes, little Rita, unfortunately, has passed on. She was having some troubles, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And we had to make the decision to euthanize her. So I want to share that with our listeners tonight and kind of talk about Cavalier's heart disease a little bit and how we make the decision, which can sometimes be difficult but important, to let our pets go humanely.
Definitely something that I really appreciate your willingness to open up your, you know, experience and your heart from what you just went through, because I think it's a time when people really need support, of course, at the time, needless to say. But if anyone has that dog getting a little older, suffering with any of the congenital problems, which the Cavies have, or any of the big breeded males that have the cancer threat hanging over them, maybe the dogs already have been diagnosed with cancer. How to know what's their suffering, what are their symptoms, and, you know, how you handle that. I think it's important that we all talk about it and not kind of put our head in the sand, because the animals are suffering often as they get older and their lives are winding down. And I think there are people who can't bear the idea of putting their pet to sleep, a dog or a cat, but they don't understand that it really is what Dr. Alice Villalobos, the marvelous oncologist, says, the gift of euthanasia. It's a gift that we give them. So they don't have to just have the last miserable gasp and pain. And if any of you out there have a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, we'd definitely love to hear from you. Do you have any heart disease that's been diagnosed? Is your Cavi on any kind of medications or any kind of treatment? Or anybody that's got a dog or a cat where you're in that kind of gray area that you know, is it time to cross the rainbow bridge, as it's often called, or are you supposed to do PAWSpice, which is the other thing Dr. Alice talks about? 888-627-6008. Have you heard that phrase of hers, Sean? I know that you had Rita on a number of medications and she was in treatment, if you will, for congenital heart failure. PAWSpice meaning to keep the animal alive but totally comfortable within their idea of comfort.
Yeah, that's the version of hospice, or what they call hospice.
Yes.
And it's the same kind of thing. I think it's a way to help prepare pet owners for the inevitable. Let them know that, you know, the pet's not usually near death yet, but we're going to try to do what we can to keep the pet comfortable, have a frank conversation with the pet owners. What are they wanting? What are they expecting? Maybe dispel some myths about what could happen or will happen, and determine what level of extraordinary intervention that they want and what we're willing and able to do, and go through the cost with them and kind of talk about, okay, when the decision comes for euthanasia, if the pet doesn't pass on its own, how we do that and where we're going to do that, and go over those things while it's not too emotional for the pet owner.
Really good point. And to be able to have home euthanasia is something that there are a number of veterinarians that have businesses that are just about home euthanasia so that people don't have to do it necessarily in a clinic setting. Of course, for you, your clinic is almost an extension of your home. To you, that's a cozy, warm, and I'm sure your clients and customers feel that way too. But for a death procedure, for some people, the idea of doing it at home is too intense, and for other people, it's the only place they'd want to do it. Have you ever done a home euthanasia for any of your clients?
You know, I don't do that anymore just because I cannot get away to do it, but I have done it in the past, and it was pleasant. I mean, it's a little more stressful for me because it is a different environment. You're not sure how it's going to work, and you don't always have an assistant there. But we actually have some vets around the country here in Dallas as well that is what they do. They come to your home, they do the hospice or pospice to kind of prepare you for that. And then that, of course, leads into the eventual home euthanasia in many cases.
And that's, I'm sure that that I interviewed at least one of the vets doing this on Dog Talk some time ago. She was out in California. So any of you out in California, I'm pretty sure if you put in home euthanasia vet, you'll get hits that will come up. And these are vets who've chosen this as their kind of niche practice. And I would say, Sean, that those vets, besides, you know, obviously caring about animals like all vets do, they've got a lot more people skills than some, because I don't know if I could handle the intense emotion of people who start out as strangers, but if you give them pospice, meaning for some days or even weeks prior to the decision to euthanize, you're going to their house and you're helping them with, I don't know, IV fluids or even injections for pain medication. I'm not sure all the things that they offer. But then you're dealing with people at that intensely emotional time when they're saying goodbye and after the animal's fully expired. I think that would take a lot out of a vet, don't you? I mean, to do that day in and day out.
And I think so. I think it takes a special personality, and you have to have some time for yourself. You always have to have care for the caregiver as well, and not forget that.
Yeah, because it takes its toll. I mean, I've seen it on the faces of vets who've done euthanasias of my pets with me, and I always become pretty friendly with my vets. You know, it's a close relationship. It's really, in many ways, closer than with your own medical doctor or even than your kid's own pediatrician. You know, you go so many years seeing that vet in all kinds of situations and watching a dog go from little to older or a new arrival from a shelter not knowing what you got there. And I see on their faces, it's really hard for the vets too. Do you have a special, do you tell people to bring a special blanket? Did you have a special blanket for Rita? Is that sort of part of it, the physicality of where you help people set up?
Well, now in Rita's case, of course, I didn't expect I was euthanizing her that day. And like I said, after we have our guests, I'll spend some time. I don't want to start talking if we're going to have someone on here in a minute. But
well, Dr. Ron Schultz is supposed to be calling about vaccines and vaccinations, but we haven't heard from him yet. So I think we should carry on with our conversation. We're pretty good at interrupting ourselves and returning to it, because I think that this is a important topic and something you have so much to offer to people and helps people to kind of visualize, you know, what's going to take place. And if you've had a bad experience in the past with euthanasia, it doesn't mean you'll always have a bad experience or even that the pet will. It can be a very mellow I had something with a Cocker Spaniel like you had with Rita. I took him in to see what is wrong in his mouth. He's having trouble eating, and he had all kinds of tumors in his mouth I didn't even know, and he had a multiplicity of other physical problems. And me, because I'm kind of tough that way, I just couldn't see bringing him home with all these problems that I now knew were there and spending how many hours or days going, want some steak? Want a piece of chocolate cake? You can have whatever you want that you couldn't have before. To me, that was maudlin. So I just put him to sleep without any expectation of doing that. Well, I didn't. My friend, the vet, Laura, did. But it's kind of shocking when you don't plan it. I mean, you're a vet. You're used to doing everything, but she's your own little gal. You had to call your wife and say, wow, the time is here. She's having trouble breathing, right?
Well, so let me talk you through Rita's story just quickly.
Yes.
So, she's a Cavalier, and for people that own Cavaliers, they look like Cocker Spaniels. They're not, but they get confused with Cockers.
Right.
And they are a breed that has mitral valve heart disease almost exclusively. Just about every dog, if they live long enough in this breed, is going to have that problem.
Wow.
Unfortunately, the disease is more severe and often occurs earlier. And even now today, we're finding some Cavaliers might be lucky to live 4, 5, 6 years of age, which is very unusual for a small breed of dog.
Oh, Sean, that's horrible.
It is. So I was lucky. I expected Rita to live 10 years. She actually had just turned 12 2 months ago. But about 4 years ago, I diagnosed early heart disease. And this is actually a good time to let our listeners know about the difference between disease when we're talking about the heart and failure. Okay. Disease simply means the heart's not normal in some way. Heart failure means they've lived with the disease for a while. The body has a number of compensatory mechanisms to prevent the heart from going into failure. But eventually those don't work anymore and the heart's failing as a pump, which means it can't pump effectively anymore. So when I first diagnosed her, and this is a good reason to go to the veterinarian several times a year, let the heart be listened to. When we hear a heart murmur, we did an ultrasound on her, an EKG, and diagnosed very, very early mitral valve disease. So she was treated with totally natural therapies for the first 2 years following her diagnosis of heart disease. Well, 2 years ago, 2 years after starting her natural therapies, her heart got worse. She went into heart failure. But once again, we were able to maintain her with just minimal amounts of drugs. Plus her supplements.
Now, let me just interrupt because this is sort of like when people talk about a cat in particular having kidney failure. Now, if you really had kidney failure, you'd be dead. And if you really had heart failure, you'd be dead. If your heart had failed, you'd be dead.
Well, yes.
So I mean, literally. But obviously, it's not meant in a literal sense. So when you say she went into heart failure, what is the difference between that and the heart having some trouble pumping and being heart failure but still alive?
So technically, you cross from the title of disease to failure when the compensatory mechanisms no longer work and the organ, whether it's the kidney or the heart or the liver, has gotten worse.
Okay.
Now, you're right. I mean, the end stage of failure is death. But we have a lot of cats, for example, with kidney failure in our practice. They're doing great.
That's right.
But their kidneys have failed to work appropriately. We're helping their kidneys work well, and hopefully the pet will die not from kidney failure, but just with the kidneys not doing well.
I see.
So like in Rita's case, you know, her heart just wasn't pumping as effectively anymore, so she needed some medical support in addition to supplements.
And so then would it be like a person where you'd give like a diuretic like they give to some people with heart problems?
Yes. So 2 years ago, we put her on a little bit of a diuretic, and then with time we needed to add an ACE inhibitor. And then about 2-3 weeks ago, she was showing some more clinical signs. Okay, I knew she was getting worse. Did another ultrasound, and her heart had gotten really bad. So I added another drug to her regimen, thinking that would be adequate. But unfortunately, it wasn't. And Friday, we went into work. She had been acting a little strange for a few days, but not anything horrible. And Friday, after her morning bath at my office, about an hour or two later, I could tell she was having trouble breathing, which wasn't good. So I gave her some more medicine. She got worse. I gave her some oxygen and more medicine. She got worse.
Wow.
And that's what I knew from my experience. She's dying and there's nothing I can do. So call my wife, told her about this. Of course, she's all upset, didn't expect this. My daughter hasn't come home from college yet. She's coming home this weekend. So I was hoping, you know, to have Rita really through the rest of the year, but it wasn't to be. And I had a catheter in her vein. And, you know, when you look at these poor little Cavaliers with their sad, sad eyes and faces, you just knew that. You know, she could feel, I think, our love, and we were trying to help her, but knew really, I mean, she was just fighting to breathe. And I just told my wife, look, I have to euthanize her. And so my wife went through the same questions, through tears, that everybody asked, which is, are you sure there's nothing else we can do? Are you sure it's the right time? And I said, yes, honey, you know, I've done this long enough.
Yeah.
I know this is what we have to do. There is no way she's going to get better. She's gotten worse with my therapy. There's nothing else we can do. And I can't just watch her drown.
And she was gasping for breath. I mean,
she
suffocated.
Was almost at that point, not quite, but she would have been at that point. So, you know, I just had to give her a little euthanasia solution, and she went very quickly and peacefully. And we made the decision we're going to cremate her and have her ashes back. So, you know, I think while it was very sad and it was kind of a rough weekend, especially for my wife, we know it was the right thing to do. And we know she didn't have to suffer very long. And that's good. You know, that's what we wanted to do. So while I'm mentioning this, I just wrote a blog about this, which should be published, I hope, any minute. So readers or listeners can go to my website, petcarenaturally.com, and click on Dr. Sean's blog and read kind of the story about it. I think I probably wrote it better than I said it. But kind of read about it and see if they relate to that as well.
Yeah, because and I appreciate that you did put that out there, because people never stop to think, gosh, what's it like for a vet when their own animal gets sick and they use all the tricks in their bag and then all the tricks in their other bag, and their animal's just going downhill. In a way, you're luckier than most people, because one of the things that all of us think, no matter how much we like and respect our vet, we wonder, maybe the vet didn't know everything. Maybe the vet left out some piece of the puzzle. Maybe if we'd only gone to a specialist, you know, driven hundreds of miles. But the nice thing for you as a vet, and really I guess for any vet that has to put their pet to sleep, you know absolutely exactly what you could have offered, what you did offer, and that you came to the end of that road. So you don't ever have that nagging suspicion many of us have had. In terms of was it too soon, I think often we think that because we think, did we miss something? Is there a vet who would have known some magic potion or different way of looking at it? And I mean, maybe in some cases there was a vet who missed something or could have done something else. Whereas in Rita's case, you'd given her everything and then you gave her a little more of that and a little more of that, and her time was there. The heart had just given out and given up.
Yes. No. And like you said, especially if you own a Cavalier, you know that's probably going to be their cause of death. And that's one of the reasons I try to tell people too. At the first sign of any breed of hearing a heart murmur, I see a lot of conventional doctors do two things that are both wrong. Number one wrong is we put the pet on drugs. Well, in Rita's case, and most dogs and cats' cases, they don't need any drugs. You've got to diagnose the problem first. Hearing a heart murmur tells you that there's something abnormal, but do they need drugs or not? Well, I don't know without doing more testing, an ultrasound, x-rays, an EKG. The other wrong thing so many doctors do is to say, well, you know, little Fluffy's got a heart murmur, we're just going to follow that and see what happens. No, you don't follow and watch the pet die. You actually evaluate the pet, diagnose the pet, and in our case, use natural therapies to help maybe slow things down, fish oil, CoQ10, Hawthorne, you know, all these wonderful supplements we have, and then use drugs when we need to do that.
When it goes to that next step of problems.
Yes.
So that they go to the drugs too early without being absolutely sure what it is.
Or they blow it off.
Or blowing it off, it sounds the way you describe it, exactly what some vets do when they see a fatty lump on a dog. They go, just watch that for a while. That's fine. I wouldn't worry about that. Well, why? You should absolutely worry about that. And watching cancer grow or watching a heart able to pump properly is not really that sort of benign neglect, to put it mildly.
I think it's malpractice.
That's always such a gray area, not something one can absolutely prove. Although I'll tell you something, that the story we had of Nancy, who called into our show with her little dog Wilma, that had been given all of those vaccinations. Mm-hmm. Did we discuss this last week? I'm going totally blank. Dr. Don and I discussed it. She was given rabies and leptospirosis and all the core vaccines all at once.
That's right. I think she called our show too.
She did. She called our show. And Wilma was 9 or 10 years old. And we talked about the fact that the neurological symptoms she had afterwards were absolutely no doubt caused by – yes, I remember you saying it. You said that would be a cause, and then several weeks later there were more symptoms. No doubt it was from the vaccines. And then there was what appeared to be lymphoma in her stomach. And what we talked about was, did it cause the cancer? No. Did it speed it up? Probably. It easily could have. The immune system, you know, runs hot and cold. So it's a sword that cuts with both ends. I interviewed Dr. Ron Schultz today, who is a big proponent of VaxaCheck, which is one of our advertisers. Oh, and speaking of which, after I finish this thought, we must go to our first little sponsor messages.
Okay, good.
And I said, so this is a good thing, right, to be able to check these core diseases and see if an animal is fully immunized against those core diseases. He said absolutely. He was very clear and strong that all dogs should have rabies every 3 years. And this is a guy involved in the rabies challenge test to see if the rabies vaccine really should be 5 years or perhaps even 7. But he's clear as a bell. Never mind what some of these other doctors are saying. You need rabies, and you need it exactly when they say you need it, for health and safety of the dog and society. But in terms of these other core diseases, I said, well, would you ever vaccinate a 10-year-old dog that's not around other dogs? He was talking about how in the shelter population, 50% of dogs that come in, 50% have never been immunized against any of the core diseases. These must be in areas where, as he calls them, not well cared for dogs. And he said, no, of course you wouldn't vaccinate against the core diseases. He said, I think of the core diseases, the puppy shots that you get a couple of times when you're a puppy and again at a year. He said, I think of them as the MMR, like the measles, mumps, and rubella for humans. I said, well, they never offer them to us as adults. So why would you offer those core disease vaccinations to an adult dog? He said, you shouldn't. So I didn't want to go there and say that's malpractice, but I think, you know, you said the word, it's malpractice. It's not the correct practice of medicine.
Yeah, I know. I think we have to always look at what's best for not just all the pets, but the own individual pet. And we have to work with what people can do and afford. And, of course, this is another good reason. If you own a breed like a Cavalier, where I had a lady yesterday with a Golden Retriever puppy, I said, look, your puppy is one of the big breeds, one of the number one breeds, actually, the number one breed for getting lymphoma cancer. Unless you can afford $10,000 today, or if this dog develops in 10 years from now, it's probably going to be $15,000 to $20,000. If you can't afford that, it means we can't treat your pet properly if it gets lymphoma, which is very possible. So consider pet health insurance.
Oh, yeah. And that's something that we will discuss in a moment as well. Ooh, and another story about a vet that charged somebody $800 to euthanize their little doggy that was like a little, almost like a cavy. I forget what they had. It was run over accidentally by somebody right in front of them, and they were charged $800 to euthanize it. How's that even possible? We're going to go to a break. Yeah. I just, and it wasn't their own vet. It was whatever emergency place they took it to.
I'm yeah. Like,
that is just, talk about, that's just gouging. Okay, we're going to be back in a minute. We'd love to hear any comments you have about your Cavaliers or euthanasia or, you know, your worries about it, concerns about it. 888-627-6008. We're going to go to a break and we'll be right back. This show is supported by the pheromone products Feelaway for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that replicate a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feelaway and Adaptil as stress relievers to help solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment and comfort new puppies and kittens experiencing the fear and loneliness of leaving their litters. Feelaway diffusers and spray for cats help with feline behavior issues in a multi-cat household. Look for Feelaway and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where there's a discount to buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Nordic Naturals has been providing people around the world with high-quality omega-3 oils for decades, with third-party testing for purity and freshness. Research has shown that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils, and daily supplementation helps maintain optimal health for all members of the family. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals Omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. VaxiCheck wants to know, are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your veterinarian's office while you wait. It shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases, distemper, parvovirus, and hepatitis, and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. Turns out, Sean, that June, the VaxiCheck for cats will be here, which is great because there's so many viruses that cats can get and so many vaccinations to sort of choose from. And it'll be great to be able to check a kitty. So many people just find cats, right? They just find them and they get found by cats. And you don't know if that cat's ever been immunized. And so people rush out and vaccinate the heck out of these kitties. And if there's a way to check, they might not need it, several of those vaccinations.
Absolutely.
At all. So when you euthanize a dog or a cat who's been your customer or client or patient for a long time, do you charge people?
For euthanasia?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do because usually we're going to be working with a pet cemetery to dispose of the pet, and there's a charge there. So we do charge them for that. Now, I do have something very interesting I'll share with you about this, though. And this is actually a practice I started really when I started my practice and saw a lot of exotic pets, especially smaller birds, hamsters, so many small animals. And one of the things I had learned is that some pet owners, no matter what kind of pet we're talking about, will spend any amount of money to save their pets. Right. Others look at some pets, and I hate to use this term, but this is the impression I get, that some of these pets are almost like throwaway pets, almost like the goldfish that dies, flush it down the toilet. So, you know, the hamster is getting sick, we're not going to go spend money at the vets, we'll just go put it down. Or, you know, the little budgie, little bird we got at the pet store, you know, we're not going to go pay to treat it, we'll just euthanize it. And I made the decision, you know what, I didn't go to school to devote my life to kill animals. I made the decision to go to school to try to help animals. And I respect the fact that not everybody has the same budget. But for me, all of these pets are living creatures. They're special. And if I can help them, that's what I'm going to do. So I made the decision for these smaller animals especially that the cost of euthanasia was more expensive as you came to me than trying to help your pet. And so literally I said, okay, if you're going to have me euthanize your pet, it's $150. Or you can come in for $100 and we'll try to save your pet. Well, the people that really wanted to save their pets would come in and we'd try to help them. The people that didn't respect these pets' lives and just could have cared less about them would get mad and hang up on the phone, which was fine with me because I wasn't in the business of killing animals. I still am not. I'm in the business of ending suffering, but if I can help the pet, I'm not going to reach for euthanasia first. So part of my philosophy is I don't want to euthanize pets just because an owner wants that unless it's necessary. So the cost is high enough for people calling on the phone to where we don't do that very often. For my own clients, the cost is basically set by the pet cemetery, and it depends upon the weight of the pet and if they want the ashes back, private.
But I mean the euthanasia in your office, the part that you do, the actual.
Well, it's all included together. There's no separate charge.
But so really there's no charge for that because all you're really charging for is the quote-unquote disposal or
– Yeah. Now, if the pet I haven't seen before, we're going to charge an office.
No, I mean if it's I mean if it's your client who's been with you for years.
Oh, no. No.
So if I – let's say I brought my dog in and it was a cavy and you put her to sleep and I wanted to take her home and bury her, you wouldn't charge me.
There might be like a minimal fee for the injection, but it depends on the client. You know, if this is someone I haven't seen in 5 years here, so there's going to be a charge because I need to evaluate and make sure I can't help the pet. If it's someone we're expecting, then no, there's really not going to be a charge for that.
And
truthfully, that hardly ever happens. Most people just want the ash. They don't want to have to deal with disposing of the body. Of course, we're in the city too. You know,
we're in the city, so it's not like you could bury them. I mean, where are you going to put them? Yeah, it's not really an option. Or with a very large dog. What is your – I mean, then it was really hard for me. I took one very large dog home to bury, but it makes you feel ghoulish like you're, I don't know, a cemeterian or something. You dig a huge, deep hole, and it just kind of freaks you out. And the other one, the Rottweiler, was just like too big. It would take three people to lift him.
Oh, yes.
What is your feeling about breeds where there's this death sentence hanging over them? I mean, let's say I come to you and you've just put to sleep my dog, and now it's X months later, and I say, you know, I'm thinking of getting X. Of course, we like to encourage people to go to the local shelter or to go even to a breed rescue and do that. But there are some people that just want to get a fresh puppy, as it were, and they want to find the breeder and talk to the breeder and go visit the breeder, all the stuff that we recommend. Would you steer somebody away? I mean, I have to say I would if they said, you know, I really want a male golden. Or I really want a golden or a cavalier. I would say, you know, there's 300 breeds and there's some nice, strong mixed breeds, even cross breeds on purpose. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't want to take on that heartache. Do you ever suggest that to people? Do you worry for people? Because it's a guaranteed heartache.
You know, I talked to them about that a little bit. My concern more is just to make sure that they're able to afford caring for the pet. Whether they come to me, move, go somewhere else doesn't really matter.
Right.
Because I really don't want my clients to be in a situation where, you know, I'd love to help my pet, but it's too expensive. We're going to have to think about euthanizing them. Now, we've talked about pet health insurance and care credit and those things that can help. But I think some breeds per se tend to be more expensive. I think, you know, as much as I love people going to the shelter and getting rescue dogs, we have a little saying in our office that these free pets tend to be very, very expensive because they're free for a reason. The prior owner didn't want them and didn't want to deal with the heartworm infection or whatever the mange, whatever the problem was. So I think you need to do your homework. I think you need to talk to the doctor and say, these are breeds I'm considering. What are some of the breed-specific problems? When should I expect those? What is the cost to deal with? As well as understanding, like for Cavaliers, if you get a Cavalier, you can't expect it's going to live as long as most little dogs. They don't. And if you're okay with that, which we were, you know, we're fine, then that's fine as long as you understand that going in.
And is there any strain of Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, any line of them that doesn't have this mitral valve heart disease?
Not that I know of.
Because they also have digestive challenges, right? I mean, they have digestive issues often.
Well, the digestion's not as big of a problem. It's the heart mainly. They do have a few weird neurological things, but it's mainly the heart.
That's kind of a biggie.
Yeah.
And what about the breeds that are like boxers and Rottweilers and Goldens that are so incredibly prone to cancer? It isn't just the cost, because pet insurance will cover it. Of course, not enough people have pet insurance, and you and I are such believers in it. And it's just really hard to get people to wrap their heads around the concept of it. I don't know why. It seems so logical to me. But it's the heartbreak and the heartache and the suffering and the yike. I mean, any of you who've lived through a dog with cancer, there are lots of people with Goldens who've lost them to cancer and just wouldn't consider any other breed. And they just, you know, when they're ready, there's nothing they consider but a Golden. But, I mean, I just think that it's asking for just a basket of trouble when there's so many other similar kind of breed choices that you could make. Is that the wrong thing to say? I mean,
think of how many spaniels
there are. I mean, not just the Cocker is a much bigger dog than the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, but there's lots of lovely little, you know, charming pet lapdoggy kind of breeds that don't come with a built-in ticking time bomb in their little heart.
Yeah, once again, those are things to bring up to people. Ultimately, the pet owner is going to make a decision himself. But once again, as long as people are informed, as long as people have a way to pay for caring for that pet, whether it's vet care or food or, you know, whatever, lodging, whatever we're talking about, I think too often those things are thought of after we get the pet and after we have a problem. So many people in my practice will come in, we diagnose cancer or some horrible disease, and the first question they'll ask is, can I get pet health insurance for this? My answer is, you could have yesterday, but you can't today.
Yep.
So no, you can't. And now it's going to cost you $10,000 to $20,000. And how do you plan to pay for that?
What I'd like to do after we go to this break is talk. We can never talk too much about pet insurance. Explain to people how it works and what a pre-existing condition is, i.e. a doctor already found it and told you. And there's notes in a medical chart. So if they didn't find it yet, then it's not a pre-existing condition. But there's also people that try and do insurance fraud with torn ACLs in the knee where the dog goes lame and they've gotten savvy and they don't go to the vet. They get the pet insurance and then they go to the vet 2 weeks later. The insurance companies are getting pretty hip to that. Unfortunately, insurance fraud, it's just part of human nature to try and scam the system. But there's a better way to scam the system, if you will, is just to do it legitimately and get pet insurance the minute that you get a new pet. We're going to go to a break. If you have any questions, our number is 888-627-6008. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition too. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy inside and out. This show is also supported by Platinum Performance Canine Wellness Formula, which is a comprehensive nutritional supplement for dogs. It provides a special blend of more than 55 nutrients to improve the health of each of your dog's 12 trillion cells. Healthy cells mean a healthy dog. In a scientific study of learning ability, the dogs who took Platinum Performance Supplement had better memory of new skills they learned compared to the control group of dogs that did not get Platinum Performance. To give your dog that mental edge, especially as she ages, go to RadioPetLady.com to get free samples and learn more. And there's a platinum feline formula for cats, too. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist cats and dogs with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. We are back. Our number is 888-627-6008. Sean, when people come into you, new clients or with new pets, I'm imagining, because we both believe so much in pet insurance, that you highly recommend that they get it off the bat.
Yes, I do try to talk to them and give them some examples of especially recent things that have happened in my practice with the actual cost. And just, you know, let them know if this is something that's affordable for you, then you don't have to have the pet health insurance. Maybe you can self-insure. Or if cost is an issue, maybe you couldn't have afforded this treatment, consider getting the pet health insurance.
And do you find that people embrace the idea, or they're like, well, we'll think about it, and then they procrastinate and don't do it until the day they come in with the sick or ailing animal, and they go, so can we get that pet insurance now? And then, as you point out, it's too late because I just diagnosed it.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. I think some will think about it, some will try it. Others may think about it and decide, ah, we really don't need this. But it is interesting, like I said, once there's a problem. Now, the good news is that I can tell people, okay, even if you wanted health insurance for this issue, too late, but your dog or cat's only 8, the pet
That's
should
right.
live to about 16, something bad is going to happen down the road besides this problem you're here for today. It will cover every other problem except maybe the one we've got now.
And that's something that's hard for people to understand. Let's sort of explain it because it's so different from human health insurance. Human health insurance, you buy it and you pay for it every month. And it, you have a deductible of X amount the beginning of the year, or maybe per incident. I don't know. I think it's at the beginning of the year. And then you have some kind of a copay each time you go to the hospital or to a doctor. And that's how human health insurance works. With pet health insurance, you pay a standard amount a month that's based on the cost of veterinary care in your area and the age of your pet. And sometimes the breed is considered also, depending on the company. It's an actuarial table. And there is either a deductible per year or per incident. In my case, I chose Healthy Paws. It's a per year. And just like with car insurance, you can pick a bigger deductible and pay a lower premium.
Yes.
So if you say, I only want the first $100 of vet care in the whole year 2013 to be the deductible, then you're going to pay more per month. And if you say $500 for the whole year, like the first $500 of whatever happens, I'll take care of that. And after that, you know, you guys kick in. And at that point, they kick in at something like 80%. You can also make your monthly payment smaller by saying, you only have to pay me back 70%. So you can make that monthly amount quite affordable. 30, 40, with an old dog like mine, $50 or $60, but these are 12-year-old dogs. The actuarial table tells the insurance company the likelihood of these dogs needing very expensive vet care as they get older is extremely high. And I don't have breeds that are at great risk for cancer, Weimaraners and a Collie mix, but the likelihood of them getting cancer in terms of statistically is enormous. And the cost of diagnosis and treatment is enormous. So nobody puts aside $10,000. I mean, an ACL tear, a cruciate ligament tear, which I was referring to earlier, no one expects that to be $7,000. Who has that kind of money sitting in their bank account? You know, I mean, they just don't. And how many people are willing to invade, you know, a college fund or some retirement fund? Sadly, a lot of people put themselves in terrible financial jeopardy because they didn't want to pay the $30 a month. So
That's right.
Then people say, well, okay, my animal's only 2 and might live to 12 or 14, like a medium-sized lab or something. If you're lucky, they live to 12 or 14. So, gosh, you know, 12 times 35, God, you add that up, that's several thousand dollars. But meanwhile, anything that happens during those years, an infected toe, a dew claw that gets pulled off, ear infection, terrible stomach upset for which you need ultrasound, x-ray, medication, shots, all those things are covered on the way to, we hope, not getting cancer. But the likelihood's high. Kidney failure, pretty costly. Go into the vet frequently, get checkups. All that is repaid to you. How it works is you pay for it, and you then email or fax that bill to the company, and many of them have a direct deposit system. They'll put that money either back on your credit card or back in your bank account within days. I mean, in terms of the credit card, before it's ever even hit your credit card bill. So it's not like you wait 6 weeks for reimbursement. These better companies have figured out that if they pay people back right away, it'll encourage people to keep the pet insurance.
Yes.
You know, it allows a doctor like you who says, wow, I have a lot of different things I can offer you, the freedom to offer those things. When money becomes the elephant in the middle of the room, in the exam room, then you can't practice the skills and the knowledge that you've spent your life developing and completely save an animal or extend their life or the quality of their life remarkably long. You can't do it because there's no free lunch. Why should there be a free lunch? I mean, everything costs money, and the lab fees are the highest. Some of the most expensive ones are $300, you know, blood tests that you have to do to find out what is that thing that's making that dog puke his guts out for a day and a half?
Well, you know, speaking of blood tests, this is a good point to bring up because I know that sometimes people will try to compare costs among doctors and sometimes go for the cheaper cost, et cetera. Now, I may have mentioned this on the show before, but this happened to me a few weeks ago where I had an older lady, and I know her funds are somewhat limited. She had a sick cat, and we talked about doing a blood test. I said, okay, look, what I'm proposing to do, this blood test is going to be about $200. Well, she got out her old invoice from another vet and said, well, he only did the blood test. It was $80. I want to go back to him. I said, okay, you have to understand something though. I have no idea what kind of blood test he did for $80 because it doesn't tell me on this invoice. And I said, I can do a blood test for $80. I can do one for $500.
That's right.
Just say that he is cheaper. No, you spent less money there, but you may have gotten less testing done. I said, if cost is a factor, there are different tests we can do. Tell me what's affordable. I want to get as much information as possible, but I can't get that from an $80 test. I can do an $80 test, but I can't give you the answer you want today.
That's a great point.
This other vet's cheaper, so we need to compare apples and apples.
Yes. Yeah, so like when any of us goes for a human blood test and it's just, you know, your regular checkup, if you've noticed, they got the needle in your arm and they have all those little vials with the purple top, the red top, the yellow top, the green top. The more tests your doctor orders for you, depending on what the situation is, are they trying to diagnose an illness? Do you already have a condition they're trying to monitor? The more of those little jiggers of blood that get put aside with the label with your name on it, there's a separate upcharge for each one. Now, either Yes. You pay it or your health insurance company pays it. So if you just got a blood test to check your cholesterol, you know, panel, it's $80. But if they want to check your thyroid and your testosterone and your heart, you know, electrolytes, whatever it may be, it can easily be $500. It's the same labs or the same kinds of labs to which they send dog and cat blood as the ones to which they sell human blood. The vet only really is charging for the fee to draw it, you know, a vet tech and the syringe. You aren't doing those blood tests. They're going off to a lab. They set the fees. It's not money in your pocket. And some of these awful vet bills, I mean, from a consumer point of view, awful. Holy cow. I only brought a dog in that was puking his guts out and we're already up to $1,400. But that's not $1,400 in Dr. Sean Messonnier's bank account.
No, it's about $1,399.
Exactly.
Oh, it's but not, for real, not nearly
the,
that.
No. The labs is some of the most expensive part of it. And sometimes you have an ultrasonographer. I don't know if you have an ultrasound in your office where
we
are.
Have someone that does it for us.
Yes, someone comes in. And they have to come in and they do it and they have their charge. So all the elements of testing, even the most well animal, you're going to get your money back. If you're that person that wants the well-cared-for pet, you'll probably get your money back in a year where you only have one incident. I mean, anyone who doesn't get, quote-unquote, their money back, they paid in their premiums, but they didn't have to pay that amount to the vet, You're the lucky ones. Never happened to me. There's always something. And I'll tell you that I'm really sorry for the policy that I chose. These dogs were, I don't know, 6 or something, 7 years old, and I switched to a company. It doesn't matter what the name of it is. And I picked, okay, lifetime limit on any one condition. I picked $7,000. Except I thought, right, you know, 7,000, 6 or 7 years ago, gosh, that would cover pretty much everything. Well, it didn't. Both those dogs, one turns 12 tomorrow, the other one turned 12 last week, and they totally maxed out $7,000 just on arthritis. Now, think about that number, $7,000 each.
Just for now, the arthritis.
Just for arthritis. And I thought, that can't be right there. That insurance company's lying to me. But they weren't. Between, I did stem cell therapy on both of them. I mean, I've got health insurance. This, you know, there is no sky's the limit. I'm going to do everything I can to give them comfort. They got Ataquan shots. They, you know, had blood tests. They had medication. Medicam is $140 for a large bottle. Yes. $7,000 each. Poof. So now I pay for everything.
That goes fast.
If I'd picked a larger cap, which I really recommend that you not get, there's some places that have a yearly limit. That's what's confusing to people. It's like there's so many elements to think of. Is there a per incident limit? Is there a yearly limit, how much they'll cover? Or a lifetime limit? I thought, well, this is great. I have $100,000 in their lifetime per dog. I'm never going to spend that. Well, they figured it out. The insurance companies are quite clever. It's a business. They're in it for profit and to make money. And God bless them. That's the whole point of any business. But it sounds so fabulous. Wow, I've got up to $100,000 I can spend to make sure they're well and comfortable and have every possible medical treatment. But if it's $7,000 per incident, you got to have an awful lot of incidents to ever reach 100. So you don't want that kind of limitation on any one incident, because what if you have a dog that has some chronic gut problem? Even that can wind up over their lifetime, because they keep a close eye. It's not in a year. It's over their lifetime. And they go tick, tick, tick. And then they do another thing, which you have to be aware of. If you go in for some issue that's about lameness and then it isn't a fracture or a broken bone, then they're going to call it, the reason for it is arthritis. Well, that goes against your lifetime limit. So, you know, the things that you may not go in thinking it's arthritis, you're just going in to find out why is the dog lame. If the only reason it's arthritis, that goes against that. So I really think that people just don't understand, even I didn't understand, the enormous amount of money you can spend over a pet's lifetime, and it shouldn't come out of your bank account. It really should be something you're spending $30 to $50 a month for that insurance. All right, we're going to go to our last break, and when we come back, we'll wrap it up. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Scientific tests show that Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month, while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Cat Attract litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family too. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. Waruva Pet Foods are privately owned and made in a human food facility, so they're good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Waruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those who are trying to transition away from dry foods, which Waruva chooses not to make because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is part of the Radio Pet Lady Network, the best pet radio shows in the world. If you're enjoying this show, please check out all the other shows I co-host. Mondays, there's Cat Crazy with veterinarian co-hosts, followed by The Expert Vet with Dr. Donna. Second opinions on difficult medical problems. Tuesday is Cat Chat and Dog Talk with Dr. Sean, the natural vet, followed by my long-running NPR show, Dog Talk. Wednesday is Dog Travel Experts, exploring all the ways to get out of the house with your dog. Thursday, it's A Dog's Life with trainer Greg Cleva, followed by Pet Food Advisors with Dr. Sean Delaney, a veterinary nutritionist with advice about feeding your dogs and cats. You can listen to any previous shows in the podcast libraries at RadioPetLady.com. We're back, and I just want to tell you that tomorrow night, starting up once again, Dog Travel Experts will be live and be able to take calls. And same thing with It's a Dog's Life on Thursday with Greg Cleva, Sean. So we are all back in the live saddle with calls and call lines, and it's just it's great to be able to be available so that people can call in with their questions and comments. And this is your last chance to do that, folks. 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Last call for calls. Sean, what do you think we could do more to encourage people to buy pet insurance? Do you think it would be to tell them brands that we think are good companies that we trust?
I think that would be a good idea. The main thing that I tell my clients, and we have, one in particular that we like.
You like Trupanion, right?
I like Trupanion. But what I really tell people is, if you're going to be my client or seek out this natural approach to pet care, many of these plans don't cover natural therapies. So it's stupid to buy a plan that isn't going to cover what you're wanting for your pet. And then it's really looking at the plans, seeing the deductibles, seeing the premium amounts, seeing how much you want to spend out of pocket. Does it cover wellness, which I don't really care about, or more serious illness and injury? How does the deductible work? I know Trupanion does cover pre-existing conditions after 18 months. But once again, you've got to do your homework, and we can give recommendations, but you've got to get online and do the homework and talk to the reps and find out what works best for you.
I would say to call the companies. Get yourself a list of questions. These companies have nice and smart people. After all, they're salesmen. They're on the phone, or women, to try and encourage you to say yes and give your credit card number. But it is good to have a list of questions like, I have a boxer. Would cancer be covered if I got so unlucky? Yes. Everyone will say yes to cancer. But there are some companies, I believe Pets Best and some of the others, I'm not absolutely perfectly sure, that won't cover some breeds at all. A lot of them won't cover Sharpeys. Too many problems, too many skin issues and other issues. So there's a few breeds, they won't take that breed at all, which is kind of like, wow, that should be a wake-up call to you
going to be expensive.
Going to be expensive. You're guaranteed to have tons of bills. Healthy Paws is a company that I've chosen. I like them very much. But the holistic issue is enormously important. Hyperbaric oxygen, I believe Trupanion covers that. Acupuncture, chiropractic, these are things that a lot of us may not go into pet ownership thinking we want, but you may find out later, you learn later, you listen to this show, you begin to hear some of the things that Dr. Sean can do and some of his, modalities that aren't strictly Western medicine. And it would be terrible if you'd picked a company that didn't cover the kind of things he does. And a lot of them will. So that's something to really keep in mind. I can't tell if our music is playing. I think we're nearly out of time. Okay, so I'm hearing music. That's a condition that perhaps you can treat. The girl who hears the closing music. I think it's important if any of you have a company you're really happy with. I know that Embrace is a company that's quite good. Mm-hmm. I know there's companies that mostly exclude what they cover, and there's more fine print than there is print you can read. And the ones that have tons of exclusion, tons of, well, it depends if, oh, no, not in that case, it's not even worth going there because all they're going to do is say no when the time comes. You want one that's clear as a bell. The ones that say we want to be transparent, I believe they really do want to be transparent. So you need to ask them questions that relate to your individual dog. Like you get a 10-year-old dog, will they cover it? A good company will. A good company will cover it even when they're old. it's not as good a deal for them. They'd rather have younger pets because they'd rather have somebody pay in for a number of years before the company has to begin paying out. But they'll cover them. It's a little pricier, but they'll cover them. So I think it's really important if you've had your doubts, please don't procrastinate, because when the day comes that you have an issue to deal with, you need to have someone who's got your back financially, and your vet needs to have the freedom to treat, you know?
Absolutely.
So there's our music. Told you I heard something. Here we go. Thank you all for spending the evening with us. And sorry about poor Rita. We send hugs and kisses to your whole family for losing your little girl. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.
Good one.
Bye-bye.